So that brings me to an old story that I heard years back. And it was in a social club and some reputable people, you know, I don't like to use people's names, but people close to him and also the Gotti regime. And it was when Gotti became boss. They wind up setting that whole thing up. Joe Watts knew about it. Sammy orchestrated the whole thing. And they set a meeting at Spark Steakhouse. Now, what a lot of people don't know, a man, powerful, powerful man named Danny Marino was in Spark Steakhouse, a meeting that Sammy had set up for Paul to attend at Sparks. He was also with a powerful consigliere from another family. And Danny Marino, nor did the consigliere knew or known that this was going to happen, that Paul was getting hit that night. So, well, just to let you know how powerful Danny was before I get into this. Hacks, COs they call them, but in the feds and places, if you've been there, we call them hacks. When I was in federal prison, I got to see Danny Marino there. And on his unit, I think it was the 12th floor, whatever it was, wherever he moved, wherever he went, every hack would call him Mr. Danny. Now, that's major respect. That's major respect because the COs and the hacks don't give anybody respect like that. Nobody. Doesn't make a difference who they were. That's how this man carried himself. Definitely boss material, I'm pretty sure. Because he's pretty up there in age. He probably could have wound up being the boss of the Gambino family at one time. So that just goes to show you how powerful he was. Well, he was one of the men that were waiting inside Spark's Steakhouse and didn't know about the hit. Joe Watts was a man that knew about the hit. He was very close with both sides. I don't know, you know, I guess he was playing both sides at the time. I don't know. It's not a man that you would like to talk about in that kind of a way. I guess the word like Grim Reaper that was used in the Colombo family for somebody. Yeah, Joe Watts is up there. He's one of those guys. And he went to see, he knew Paul was getting hit. So he sets a meeting with Paul at, you know, the White House up on the hill, you know, Paul's big mansion in Staten Island. And he sets a meeting with Paul and goes to see Paul. He was a boss's man. You know, a lot of guys, because he wasn't straightened out. A lot of guys can't do that. Set meetings with a boss of a crime family. And one, you're not even, guys that are straightened out can't talk to the boss. You know, skippers, underbosses, street bosses, guys like that. And sometimes not even, only really high-powered skippers can really set meetings or even talk to the boss. So Joe Watts sets a meeting with Paul, and Tommy Bilotti sits in on the meeting. Now, Tommy Bilotti is a legitimate tough guy in his own right. Him, his whole family. One of his brothers was a boxer. I'm pretty sure they were all good with their hands. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Sammy mentioned this. I don't watch his show. But I know one of them used to train Sammy or trained with Sammy. Charlie or I don't know which brother it was, but they were legitimate tough guys, the Bilotti family. And Tommy Bilotti was a legitimate killer in his own right and hitter like that. So during this meeting, pretty much sure it was Paul, Joe Watts, Tommy Bilotti, and maybe the consigliere of the family at the time. Or maybe even Nino Gaggi was there. I'm not sure. He might have been dead at the time. I'm thinking, or arrested. I'm trying to figure out. No, I don't think Nino Gaggi was there. I don't use Google. I'm just trying to just remember the dates. I know that Roy had to be gone by then. So maybe Nino Gaggi was arrested because he had a heart attack in MCC and wound up passing away, Nino Gaggi. But I know it was Joe Watts, Tommy Bilotti, the consigliere family, and Paul Castellano. And Joe Watts was always a guy, if he came through with a deal, you got in front of that with him. He did nothing but make money. You know, that's what he was known for. You know, he was one of the rare guys that made money and was a hitter. So he goes to Paul and he tells me he has some kind of real estate deal and that he needs about 5 or 7 million. I don't know the exact number, but it was up there. And, you know, Paul's like, no problem. You know, I'll get it to Tommy. Tommy will get it to you by whatever, Monday, if it was Thursday or whatever. And, you know, Girl Watch was like, yeah, of course, no problem, Paul. I just wanted to make sure that you knew about it. And if you wanted to get involved in this, that I let you know first. You know, Paul thanked him or whatever. And just like that, walked out the door. As he's walked out, as Tommy Bilotti is escorting him to the door to say goodbye, he nudges him and says, you fuck, what are you doing? And Joe Watts turns around and goes, what do you mean, what am I doing? He goes, this guy's fucking a millionaire. He's got a ton of fucking money. You don't want to involve me? Let me make a few dollars? So it was like a blessing for Joe, because he was like, the more the merrier. And supposedly Joe turns around and goes, no, there's room. He goes, I could fit you in for like $2-3 million if you got it, but it's got to be cash. And, you know, I need it right away so we could get this done. It's a, you know, it's a cash deal with this real estate thing. And Tommy was like, when I bring you Big Paul's money, I'll bring you $2 million and you get me involved in it. And Joe Otto was like, Tommy, no problem for you, anything, you're in. And that's the way the story goes, you know. And what happens is he gets the money, they think that he's investing, and before they get to think about it, they hit Paul, they hit Tommy, and Joe Watts turns around, buys John Sr. a brand new Mercedes-Benz, takes $100,000, puts it in the glove compartment. When they announce that John Sr.'s boss, Joe Watts brings him outside, gives him the Mercedes, and tells him there's a gift for him inside the glove compartment. I'm pretty sure John Sr., he used to drive a Lincoln Town Car, a brown Lincoln Town Car at the time. I remember years, I think it was like an 84 or an 85 Town Car. It was a new one at the time, Lincoln Town Car. And he just got a brand new Mercedes, and he got $100,000 in the glove compartment from a non-made guy, non-skipper, you know, a boss's man, which he wound up becoming a boss's man with John Sr. as well. And I'm pretty sure John was in his glory that, you know, John liked guys that did the right thing without having to be asked. And Joe Watts knew how to play the game like that. And then, listen, between $5 and $7 million, he just got off of Big Paul and Tommy Bilotti. And what's it cost him? Another $60,000-$70,000 for the Mercedes. I forgot which series that he bought him at the time. And $100,000 in cash in the glove compartment was not even close to a tenth, maybe not even 20% of what he collected off of Big Paul and Tommy Bilotti. And that goes to show you how this life works with the treachery, that it didn't even start now or in the 90s, or it's been going on for years. And Joe Watts was just the guy who's just been keeping himself around playing chess. You know, I always say there's always guys playing chess while everybody was playing checkers. And, you know, he blindsided Big Paul and Tommy Bilotti with that real estate deal, and I'm sure it was forgotten about, and nobody was going to come forward looking or asking for that money after that happened. And Joe Watts wind up getting off with a big nut, and John Sr. wind up getting a new car and $100,000, and he was happy. And this story didn't come out till years later. I heard it at a pretty young age and from some reputable people, and, you know, that's the Joe Watts and the real estate money story. And the Mercedes-Benz that everybody always seen Jojo Carrazzo driving John Sr. around in, that was it. Paid for and bought by Joe Watts. And an extra $100,000 to do a little sports gambling with in the glove compartment. And that's this week's The Life Story with Hootie. Stay tuned. I got a lot more coming. I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy a lot of them. All right, guys? Till next time. Stay up.